Now we come to Ruth, who's going to read God's word to us. Thank you, Ruth.
So it's from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's good to have Rosemary share the first talk with us this morning.
So, what have we just read? A description of the life-transforming worship of the very earliest Christians. Jesus had risen, he'd gone physically from their lives. And the Holy Spirit, the forever personal presence and power of God, had come to dwell with these early believers. Then there'd be an explosion after Peter's teaching, where the number of believers increased from 120, which is about the number we have here this morning, I think, to well over 3,000. Imagine that. They were disorientated. They were needing to figure out what on earth they do now. Those who had been with Jesus would be grieving for how it had been. The 3,000 who'd known little about Jesus would be wondering, what happens now in their everyday lives? They had no worship pattern to fall back on, and so they had to create it from scratch. For us, our 2,000-year-old pattern of worship has been thrown into chaos by COVID, and we feel like we're starting almost from scratch too, in a way. God has broken into all our kinds of busyness, both work, religious, family, and social. And while we experience his faithfulness and constancy all around us as spring bursts out, we're all in different positions, aren't we, with the impact that this has had on our lives. I know some of you are struggling with your own or others' pain, suffering, loss, and loneliness. Some of you are even busier than you used to be, juggling work and educating your children. Some of you are finding ways to enjoy the pace and the focus. Some of you are thinking about the impact of the demands on yours or your family's physical and mental health as you try and work out, how do we work from home? How do we educate our kids all in one place? And many of us are left wondering, who am I now? What am I here for right now? What's the purpose of my life at this moment? And I guess we're asking too, how do we be in this situation? Well, we're part of the family of God. We're dispersed, but we're together. And our passage today gives us a very clear priority for the earliest Jesus-following families. As people found that way to be church, Jesus grew his church. And in the following 470 years, the church grew from that first 120 people to over 40 million. And encouragingly, this was without the help of modern technology. Without all singing or dancing worship groups or choirs, without hymn books, ancient or modern, and without the 30,000 books on church leadership that you can buy on Amazon today. And yet, at the same time, the church endured some of the worst persecution ever perpetrated on a group of people in recorded history. And we know that about 7 million were martyred for their faith. So how did that growth happen? It happened because Jesus promises that he will build his church. Not us, not amazing Christian leaders or vicars or speakers, not YouTubers, but Jesus. And it's our job today and always, whatever the situation, to ask him how he wants to use us. So your mission, if you choose to accept it, is the same in St. James's today as it was in the early church we've just read about. Clear priorities for life as church, for life as Jesus followers. And we read about four key things. The first one is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So regardless of the situation or circumstance that you're in, you need to know the word of God. It's okay if you're rubbish at remembering anything that you've read, because the Spirit of God helps us and brings things to our minds. But it helps if we've read it. So find some time, read God's word, and read some Christian books that can help you. Tell others in your small groups what you're reading that's useful. Because we're all in such difficult and different situations, but it seems to me that we need to take care how we spend our time. People tell me how easy it can be right now to get into TV box sets. They're advertised everywhere on the telly, aren't they? To while away hours doing very little. To wonder where the day has gone. And that's okay, because some of you need a rest and a change of pace. But these are precious times, so carve out time with God and his word. See what you can find on the internet as well in some of the churches. There's lots of really good teaching as well. And the second thing that the early church did was they devoted themselves to fellowship. Remember that although people speak about social distancing, what we're really talking about is physical distancing and social closeness. And it's a huge challenge. These early believers could meet with skin on. They shared what they had. They met each other's needs. And we too are figuring out ways to do that, aren't we, in our new situations. How do we connect with each other and have open hands? And one of the biggest things we have to share in this storm is an anchor to hold fast to. So don't be scared to share it. And then the next bit of the passage talks about they devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. So God has broken into all our plans. The church was birthed through prayer. God commands us to pray. He promises to hear and answer our cries to him. He gives us wisdom and supernatural deliverance. And as we seek his face and turn from our selfish and wicked ways, he promises to heal our land. Our plan this year was to learn more about prayer, to do more prayer. And we have ways to pray together. We have a prayer gathering on a Thursday night at 8. We have night prayer every night at 9 for 15 minutes. We have prayer in our home groups. We have prayer on a Tuesday and Thursday morning at 8. Those are just to help us, because actually praying is one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? And time to maybe pick up your first brick. Do you remember the first bit of Nehemiah we talked about? First pray. And if you were in St. James's, you were all given a brick to remind you. First pray. And they broke bread in their homes, which Peter will talk about in a minute. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. So just the last bit to notice from this reading is that in the early church, there was a real connection with everyday life and faith. The physicality of worship extended to the little things in their homes. Breaking bread, eating, selling, giving, sharing. Do we stop and thank God as we eat our daily food? Do we peel the onions and remember the goodness of God? Because both the onion and the goodness of God should bring tears to our eyes. Do we look for God in the ordinary? Do we ask him to make himself known? So I wondered, can you find other little ways to bring physicality into your worship in your own home? I was going to say answers on a postcard, but I guess that would be very bad, wouldn't it? So answers on email. What ideas have you got for bringing worship and praise into your homes and to remember that God is with us always? And as we do this, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will add to his kingdom those who are being saved.
Here in Acts chapter 2, we learn that church is not an afterthought or an option. It's first a result of the outpouring of the Spirit at that time, and then second, the results of preaching Christ's death and resurrection. And thirdly, the change of mind that that brings to people, that brings people to Christ. You know, when we have that revelation of the Spirit, suddenly we understand, don't we, and our mind is changed and we turn to Christ. The church is what Jesus promised, building his church as his bride. Is it any wonder that filled with the Spirit, the 3,000 who were added to the 120 followers of Christ immediately devoted themselves to the church? The key word here is devotion. Devoted to the bride of Christ, not to a building, of course, but to the four things that constituted the heart of that born again by the Spirit community. Today, with our church buildings closed, our distance apart can be a gift to remind us that when the church was first birthed, there were neither buildings nor dividing distinctives. Today, many Christians see church as optional, generally believing that attending services or meeting up is optional. Is that because we've lost what it means to be devoted to the bride of Christ? As a result, church as an institution can be an obstacle to the many non-religious and yet spiritual people. Acts 2 reminds us that in the beginning, the church was not a human invention, something dreamed up by the apostles to enforce rules, but the birth of the bride of Christ. The church is God's plan for all his children. No one had to tell these first believers to go to church, to join church, to be church. Being church was the most natural, joyful response to receiving Christ as Lord and Saviour. Perhaps our enforced physical isolation has made us realise that joy is to be found when the church meets, even when we connect through cyberspace. This joy came from four practices of the early church. If you look at verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They got their joy from Jesus, but they expressed their joy, and they experienced their joy as they did those four things together. We'll find more joy in our church as we devote ourselves to one another in these four things, and we'll see signs and wonders, and experience a deeper sense of awe as we see God at work among us. Next week, we're going to break bread together in our homes, as the early church did, here in Acts 2. But with the wonder of technology, we're going to do that together. There is more than one opportunity every day to join with others in the church family to pray, though I realise for many, there may not seem enough hours in your day to do all that you have to do. But let's discover or rediscover perhaps more joy in the Lord and share it with others. So next Sunday, we're going to finish the service because this might be a big step for some of you. But then after the blessing, we're going to have a 5-minute break and then we're going to break bread together. So if you would have prepared a glass of wine, red wine, maybe, or some fruit juice if you're with a young family, and some bread, then I'll lead us in breaking bread together and we'll see how that feels. I think it would be good for us not only to remember, but to experience the joy of doing that together. Sue and Janet, who are going to lead our prayers this morning, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. When Peter asked me to lead the intercessions today, and I sat down to think about it. It occurred to me that inevitably there's a recurring theme to the content of our prayers these days. So I wanted to try and present a different approach. After all, the Archbishop of Canterbury, in his Easter address, urged us to be imaginative. I asked myself how I find solace, comfort, direction, hope, understanding, how I overcome fear, anxiety, and how I can help my neighbour, and how I can give thanks. My inspiration often comes from hymns and the strong messages they contain, or the phrase that perfectly reflects my thoughts. A hymn, for me, is most definitely a prayer set to music. Our first hymn this morning is a perfect example. And a hymn is a way, as Rosie touched on, of bringing worship and praise into our homes. I'd like to share some lines from a few of my favourite hymns, which apply to the different situations in which we find ourselves in these days, and ask you to contemplate those words. Some are good old hymns which may be unfamiliar to the younger members of our Zoom congregation, but very familiar to others. In the olden days, these formed part of our daily diet of worship and prayer. You'll be pleased to know I shall not attempt to sing them. As I describe the focus of prayer, Janet will narrate the chosen words of inspiration from the hymn. To clear our minds and prepare to contemplate the words, we will begin and end with a few bars from the Taizé chant, O Lord, hear my prayer. Here then are my words of inspiration and contemplation, inspired by the hymns. Coming to God in prayer.
Father, hear the prayer we offer. Not for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously.
When calling for help.
I need your wisdom, Lord. I need to hear your voice. I'm facing challenges. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Please lead me to the light. Show me the way.
When we feel we have lost direction.
Be our strength in hours of weakness. In our wanderings, be our guide. Through endeavour, failure, danger, Father, be thou at our side.
When struggling to understand and come to terms with suffering.
God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm.
When we feel unable to cope.
Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes.
When we feel alone and lonely.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
When we feel helpless and overwhelmed by sadness and despair.
Let not sorrow dim your eye. Soon shall every tear be dry. Let not fears your course impede. Great your strength, if great your need.
When we need to escape from people, noise, numbers, words.
Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace.
And in giving thanks for our beautiful world and observing signs of spring in our villages, thus giving reassurance that sure as spring follows winter, light follows dark.
For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise.
When giving thanks for family love, for friendships, for rekindled friendships, for those we have come to know or come to know better, and the joy this brings.
For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, pleasure pure and undefiled. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise.
When we are feeling alone,
we are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load.
When we are looking for inspiration, for hope.
All my hope on God is founded. All my trust he shall renew. He my guide through changing order, only good and only true. God unknown, he alone calls my heart to be his own.
When we may feel overwhelmed by losses, sadness, sacrifice, hardship, and we need a reminder of God's love, and I sing this one every day.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end.
Finally, an old favourite from primary school, which I often sing as I cycle across the meadow, and balance is restored. An uplifting but simple Sunday school hymn, but also a metaphor for life.
Glad that I live am I, that the sky is blue, glad for the country lanes and the fall of dew. After the sun, the rain, after the rain, the sun. This is the way of life. Till the work be done. All that we need to do, be we low or high, is to see that we grow nearer the sky.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Just say just a little word from Tim Weatherfield, who was reminded this week to think about the sacred and not the scared. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. So let us stay in peace, reach out with peace, and as those with a living hope, live together in peace. In the name of Christ. Amen.